Please do be seated. And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Mike Elliott asked me at the end of last week's service what I was going to preach on this morning, which I thought was a bit ambitious. It shows a degree of faith in preparation, which I'm not sure is well placed all the time. But I said I'll probably preach on the wisdom reading, because we don't get the Book of Wisdom very often. And it's one of the classic pieces of Hebrew wisdom. And then I actually read it, and it's all about kind of death and Hades. And I didn't think that was a particularly jolly reading for baptisms and a service like we've got this morning. So I thought, well, you know, maybe look at Corinthians. And Paul in Corinthians, in the second reading we had, is exhorting the Corinthians to give more and to give not out of, you know, what have we got left, but to be very generous in their giving. But we've already had the collection, so I thought what we'd do is move on and we'd look at the reading from Mark this morning, which was the third reading he had, which is quite a long reading, quite a big passage for Mark, who's generally quite concise. Mark starts his gospel by saying, "This is the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brackets, the Messiah, brackets." And everything that Mark then goes on and writes is to illustrate that Jesus is the Son of God, and he brings a new creation with him. When Jesus came, things changed. And that's what Mark sets out to show in his gospel. And he does that by talking about the things that Jesus did. Mark's the shortest gospel. We don't have in Mark lots of discussions about Jesus said this, and there were discussions about that, and he met with somebody, and they went, that's not Mark. He just talks about what Jesus did, and let the actions, in that sense, do the speaking. And that's part of what we see in today's gospel reading, where Jesus heals the two women. It's part of a slightly longer section. Remember, Mark's about showing a new creation. It starts off, and two or three weeks ago, we had the reading where Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. The disciples think everything's hopeless. It's all stormy and it's choppy waters. And Jesus calms the waters. We then have a story about where he brings order out of chaos for a man that's possessed with demons and releases the man. And here we have a story about where life is breathed into Jairus' daughter. And it echoes the picture that we have in the first creation, where the waters are stilled, where chaos is calmed and order is brought out of that chaos. And life as we know it is created. And then finally in that first Genesis story, we have the creation of man and woman. And life itself, human life, is brought into being. And we see that as Jesus has calmed the waters, brought order out of chaos. And he now brings new life. So it's a point that Mark's making about this is who Jesus is and the new creation that he brings. But in the story this morning, there's little clues as to what else is going on. Because 12 years old and 12 years, 12 sort of brackets the story. Because it could look like two stories. Is it two stories? Is it one? And generally, when you see the number 12 in the Bible, it refers to or it gives an allusion about God's creative work coming to completion, about God's intent. And so there's something in these stories, because we see the word 12, and we hear the word 12, that talks about God's completion and about his will in the world. And the first thing that we see is, after Jairus has asked Jesus to come to his house, is the woman who, you know, amid all her shame and embarrassment and, you know, not quite sure what's going to happen, goes up to Jesus, elbows away through the crowd, and touches Jesus. She reaches out to Jesus. and she is healed. And the words that are used that describe that story talk about the past. They talk about the history. It's a very different set of words that are used in this particular piece of the gospel. And it's as if the old world order, the church of the Jews, the Israelites, had come to an end. And just as the woman had gone to mainly men and tried to work out and try to solve what was happening to her, but couldn't do it, and needed to reach out to the Son of God, it's as if the picture is of that old world order reaching out and touching Jesus as the Son of God. And things will change, because Jesus, part of why he came, was to restore and renew that which had gone before. The Israelites, the Jewish faith. He came to bring new life into that. The old world order was renewed and restored in a way that men and women had not been able to do, because it needed to touch God. The efforts of men and women were insufficient. And then we move on to the story of Jairus' daughter. And again, that number 12 figure, she was 12 years old. It's not an accident that 12 happens in both of them. But here is something new. You know, she was a young girl. She had died. When Jesus says she's asleep, what he actually says is she is sleeping the sleep of the dead. So she's dead. No mistake about it. But he reaches out to her and offers new life. He brings new creation to that girl, to Jairus' daughter. This is something new that is happening. It's not just a restoration of the stuff that needed to get healed and touched by God from the past. This is something new that is happening as he reaches out. And the words that he uses, and he uses Aramaic. Jesus spoke lots of different languages. He certainly spoke Hebrew, probably spoke Greek, probably spoke Latin, because a lot of the carpenters at that time were working for the Romans. But he spoke Aramaic. And you might have imagined, when he's in the house of the Jewish synagogue leader, clue there, he might have spoken Hebrew. But he didn't. He spoke Aramaic. He spoke just the general language that everybody would understand. And he said, get up. Have new life. Because the new life that Jesus was offering, which was different to the past, was open to everybody. That was part of what Jesus was saying when he asked the girl just to get up. And as we look at those stories, there's bits of both the older woman and Jairus' daughter in each of us. There are bits of us that sometimes need to reach out to touch Jesus and to ask him to restore some of the things that have gone on in our lives in the past, perhaps. Things maybe that we too are embarrassed or ashamed about and nobody ever finds out. But we need to ask Jesus to touch those, to heal and to restore. But also there are bits of us that need just to let Jesus reach out and touch us. Perhaps in some of our times of need. Perhaps when we're under pressure. Perhaps when we're just at our wit's end, as Jairus clearly was. And to let Jesus come and touch us. Because what Mark talks about in his gospel is the new life that is offered to all. Everybody is able to reach out to touch Jesus, and Jesus is willing to reach out and to touch us all, and all we need to do is to ask and to be open and to be there so that Jesus, the risen Christ, can meet with each one of us day by day, day after day, so that we know the fullness of that new creation within us. Amen.
Amen.